What is up, you guys? Welcome to the Ratchet Dojo Radio. I am your host, Ro the Show. If this is your first time listening and you were wondering what this podcast is going to be about, this podcast is all about jujitsu and everything that revolves around it. Welcome to our weekly show, you guys. Our black belt on the scene is Mr. Orlando, the Ratchet Man. I'm changing it this weekend. The Ratchet Man. Rhymer.
I went from classic to ratchet.
Everyone can get a little ratchet, baby.
That's right. What's up, fellas?
You, baby.
Yeah.
And our brown belt on the scene is Mr. Evan. Whatever. Ratchet. Shady. Everyone's ratchet today.
He's always ratchet. He's always shady.
Oh, man. He has so much hate in his, like, little pinky finger than most people have in their whole life.
He be drinking the Haterade, bro. That's what it is.
Oh, what's good, fellas?
Chilling, dude. You know.
What's up with you?
Still in Vancouver. I'll be here for like a couple of weeks and, you know, just really getting an opportunity to get to see how this side of the world lives, man. It's kind of interesting here. I've been here now for about 2.5 weeks. So, you know, quarantine stuff is over. Last week I was pretty much suffering through an allergy, but it finally disappeared. Actually, after my first jiu-jitsu lesson at Diaz Combat Sports here, run by Mr. Stuart Cooper. You guys know the filmmaker, Stuart Cooper?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he makes all those like really cool jiu-jitsu videos that makes you want to do push-ups.
Want to change your life?
Or change jiu-jitsu. Yo, dude, man. I mean, like, yo, if I didn't do jiu-jitsu and I saw one of his films, man, I definitely want to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. At least a tear out of your eye will come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like I was saying, so I went to Diaz Combat Sports to check it out. And the good news is that there's jiu-jitsu here. You know, I did a Saturday class, 10 a.m. And yeah, it was just like technique and then straight rolling. It was like it was a 2-hour class, 10 to 12.
Nice, what precautions have they taken there?
So that's a great question because when I first walked in, they had this temperature checking thing. It was like it was like right at the door. So everybody had to get their temperatures checked, you know, with the forehead and not anally, Evan, just in case you wanted to know.
Evan.
Not rectal. And yeah, but and for the most part, I you know, it was no gi, so I just pretty much just, you know, started training with some guy. Not a lot of higher belt ranks. I don't really know the protocol or the gym and how it is, but it's a small school. It's mixed martial arts. I shouldn't say mixed martial arts. They have a cage or like half a cage. Muay Thai, very specific. The Diaz brothers are like they used to do like K1 fighting. So I guess they just decided to camp out here in Vancouver. Filipino guys, so I was pretty much welcome with open arms because, you know, it was like, you know, when you're Filipino and you meet another Filipino.
Jungle Brothers, bro. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, the Jungle Brothers. But so I had a really good experience. Good guys, pretty chill, and they actually asked me to teach one of their fundamental class because, you know, just because I'm a Marcelo Garcia black belt, you know, I guess it would be a good opportunity for people to that.
Well, not just because you're a Marcelo Garcia black belt, like, you know what you're doing, dude. It's not like, you know, it's not you're not. It's not just about name. Like you actually know jiu-jitsu and you. You compete and you know your shit, bro.
No, thank you. But it does help that, you know, like you come from an academy that's well renowned. You know, Marcelo, you know, obviously has a name for himself. But to be able to share his jiu-jitsu, it's kind of a huge compliment. You know what I mean?
It's sure.
So yeah, I'll be doing that tomorrow. So if you are in Vancouver, I believe I'll be teaching every Wednesday until I'm, you know, up until I leave, obviously. So 7 p.m. fundamentals, 90-minute class. Come and get some.
Nice, dude. Nice. So you love the vibe was good?
Yeah, man. People awesome. Are pretty chill. Yeah, like Vancouver's kind of wild. It's everybody's kind of nice. And it's kind of weirding me out. Like, you know, it's like I went to order a burger and the guy was like, yo, how's your day? I'm like, what?
Trying to take me out?
I'm like, bro, shut
trying
up.
Trying to get that number? Trying to get some digits?
I'm like, bro, just shut up and give me my ketchup. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't say that. But it's like, it's kind of weird. Definitely not in New York anymore. That's all I got to say. All right. What's up with you guys? Orlando, you still hiking?
Yeah, dude. Man, I was roasting chicken up in the mountains, bro. Manly stuff. Good.
Did you
time,
say you were
bro,
choking the chicken in the mountain?
Well, since you mentioned it, nah, I was roasting chicken.
Oh, got it. My bad.
That woman with her kid came up to you and he's like, "Do you choke your chicken up here all the time?"
Yeah, exactly. It was dope, man. Yeah, good times, dude. I jumped in the lake. It was, you remember the lake that we were last time? Uh-huh. The lake is actually still warm. So it's nice, dude. It's just nice to get out of the city and wind, you know? Get out of this place.
How late into the season will you keep going?
I'll probably go I'm going to go in the winter, too. I'm nonstop. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Like November, like Thanksgiving when it's cold?
Yeah, dude. That's when you roast your chicken. You know what I mean?
He'll be there for Thanksgiving roasting a turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool, man. I'm glad you're keeping up with your manly ways. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro. We're chopping trees, baby. We're getting down, bro, like that.
That's what's up. Did you see that that post that Keenan Cornelius posted up that he was like, you know, he went hiking for like a week or something because what was the caption he said? Because the internet was like frying his brain.
Yeah, dude. My brain gets fried all the time with the internet.
Yeah.
I understand his pain.
It's definitely a great way to get out.
Dude, I feel like when I'm like on the interweb for like an hour and I disconnect, I'm like, holy shit, like what the hell just happened? I was like, you know, you're staring at the phone or a computer for like a solid hour. And then you like focus on something else. You're like, my God, what's wrong with me? Like, I just wasted an hour staring at a screen. It's just the most ridiculous thing. I feel like retarded after that.
Well, for some people, they live for that, right? You know, it's like how they make their money, like social media influencers, whatever they're called.
For sure, man.
Anyways, Evan, what's up with you?
Nothing. You know, just had the holidays over the weekend.
Oh yeah, bro! Happy Rosh Hashanah, Papa.
Thank you.
So, what y'all did, bro? Y'all partied? Y'all danced a little salsa, a little bachata?
I actually roasted a chicken too.
Oh, you and your roasting chicken.
And yeah, that was it. I saw a good documentary today that I wanted to talk to you about because you're Filipino. European.
Oh yeah, what you got?
And it was the it's called The Kingmaker. It was on Showtime, and it was about Imelda Marcos.
Oh yeah,
and it's like it's really good in the way it shows it because it lets her tell her story, but then like it'll cut away and just tell like the true story, but. Because she's like, oh, I wanted to help the people and, you know, give them the money. And then, like, one of the things she did was she brought over, she went to Kenya on a safari. Mm-hmm. And she saw the zebras and she saw the giraffes. And she's like, oh, my God, wouldn't it be great if these were, you know, in the Philippines? So she like, bribed the Kenyan president to get zebras and giraffes sent to the Philippines. they found like an island that was uninhabited in quotation marks, which there are actually people there, and they kicked them off the island, like a few hundred people. And now it's like brought the zebras and the giraffes. Now it's years later, the giraffes are still there. The people have come back and they're all like pissed off because the giraffes are like eating their food and, you know, running through their fences and destroying their houses. And that, you know, there's no money left for any of the stuff. But I mean, it's a really good documentary if you want to learn about Philippines
and zebras and shit.
Yeah.
And kangaroo and whatever other animals.
Oh, man.
I was going to say kangaroos. They ain't take kangaroos over there?
No, no, just like giraffes and zebras.
Oh, that's whack, bro.
When you take over the Dominican Republic, you can bring
that shit with kangaroos.
I actually thought you were gonna say that. You know, they brought the giraffe there, and the people just like shot them, ate them, and cooked them.
And roasted them bad boys, right?
Roasted the giraffes.
They're not allowed to, but it's like they said that they have been shooting them occasionally, if they mess up their houses too much.
Well, you know, not for nothing. I was in the Philippines when Imelda Marcos and Marcos was there, and yeah, they were exiled out of the Philippines because they pretty much embezzled, I think, almost like $1 billion.
Billions.
Hundreds
of billions. Yeah.
Jeez.
And like what the hell do you do with all that money? Damn, that's like crazy.
Well,
she's sitting in her house in the Philippines, and she's got a Picasso behind her, you know, a Monet. And then like the government raided her place like recently, and mm-hmm. like all those pictures were like hidden away. And they're just playing this game like the mobsters play, like hiding their assets and just moving it, like being one step ahead of the government so that they can't take it away. But they have hundreds of millions of dollars.
I got a Picasso in my house. I paid $49.95 for that on Amazon.
They were very tied to President Duterte. Like they were tied in with him and funded his rise to power. Also.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, anyway, so it sounds like a great show. I definitely have to find a link where I don't have to pay for Showtime because, you know, I got to do a ratchet, baby. Keep it a ratchet. All right. Anyway, so what else is going on in the world, you guys?
Orlando, you said you saw something in the Bronx or Brooklyn?
Williamsburg.
Yeah, why don't you talk about it?
They had a huge F.U. Cuomo and de Blasio painted in the middle of the road. And there was like a huge block party. The people were loving it. And then word got out. And like within like 24 hours, it was painted over again.
Was it Black Lives Matter over it now?
No. It was, they just painted it black. Instead of Black Lives Matter, you put black paint over it.
Or Blue Lives Matter. I don't know.
Yeah, Blue Lives.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's funny, though, because, like, de Blasio, they're always trying to put some political statement, and they're like, you know what? F you, de Blasio, and Cuomo, too.
When's his term over? Get this guy out of there already.
Hopefully soon, man. Hopefully soon.
Who are you talking about, Cuomo or de Blasio?
De Blasio. I actually like Cuomo.
Yeah. I don't know. Nah, I don't know too much
about Giuliani. Up in this piece.
So who can run against de Blasio? You guys know?
Well, de Blasio's done. I think he's up against term limits.
Okay, got it.
He can't. I don't know what he's gonna do, but
he's gonna run for president next.
Yeah, oh man, forget about that.
He tried. He was the worst.
Oh, geez.
Actually, the only. It's funny. The only people that actually supported him were like the Hasidic Jews. They were like his big supporters because he like gives them like special treatment and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah,
the city's crazy, bro. I got a cousin. He keeps sending me like homeless dudes like banging each other. I'm like, bro, like what the hell? like subway sex and all this kind of like crazy homeless dudes and. Like butt ass naked in the train station. I'm like, bro, what the hell? That's disgusting. Keep it to yourself.
So for those of you listening and you're wondering what happened to the jiu-jitsu conversation, we'll eventually get there. We're kind of just like trying to find out what's going on in the world. Talking about homeless people, you know, one of the things I saw yesterday while I was in an Uber and I was riding up to the gym, and there's a part here, it's called Gastown, and literally like five blocks worth, I was like just counting it, and all I saw were like all these people, and it wasn't just like one or two people, but it was just like groups, a mob of people literally doing meth in the middle of the street, like five blocks worth. It was like really crazy because
it was pretty wild, dude,
because you know, if for those of you that's never been to Vancouver, it's quite wealthy, and to be able to see that, like, it was like in the middle of the street. I mean, even in New York, when I see one person doing that, it's kind of like wild. But it was like a mob of people. It was surreal.
Wow.
Anyways, so the world is kind of crazy right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. So talk about crazy. You guys hear that Conor McGregor showed off his junk to some married woman in a bar?
Yeah, I heard that. I don't believe it though, bro. Because I mean.
Why not?
Why? Because let McGregor show me. Man, if I see McGregor, I'm be like, yo, he showed me his penis so I can make $1 million.
Well, don't show me your. So you mean to tell me that you would allow Conor McGregor to?
Nah, I just make it up. I'll be the victim. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like when you're like a superstar and you got money, you know, every chick says that you touched a booty or touched or did something. You know, to me it's fake news, bro.
All right. Well, here's the story. So apparently he was in Monaco, and he was supposed to participate in a 180K marathon. It's an endurance race alongside Princess Charlene of Monaco. I'm sorry. This is not. I don't know if it was Monaco. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways.
Yeah, it was Monaco. It was like in France. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay, so allegedly he was at a bar and he was drunk, and on his way to the bathroom. I guess he just, you know, started harassing a woman, a married woman, and showed off his junk. And, you know, she told her friend about it, and I guess made a whole big deal about it. And even Conor McGregor started doing these tweets that somebody Snapchat. When they Snapchat it, not Snapchat.
Instagram.
No. They, you know, because he deleted it.
They copied his shit. Yeah, his whatever. Yeah,
they screenshot it. Sorry, they screenshotted it, and in one of them it says, Conor McGregor, in his tweet it says, suicide intervention, yet ridiculing me in this manner online at this horrendous time in my life. I am trying to stay strong for my kids and the people that rely on me and that love and support me. Thanks for the insults, hypocrite. And it says, and his second tweet is like, I can't go on like this, man. I am crushed here. So I don't know what that means, but it was a deleted tweet. So whether it's
this is the thing though. Like when you're a celebrity and you got money, every girl that's trying to make a quick dollar and a little, you know, easy 15 minutes of fame is gonna accuse you of showing your you know, or touching her or showing your dick. Like
McGregor does have like a sordid history. Like, did you guys see when he's promoting
same,
his whiskey?
It's like the same thing with like Kobe, bro. That dude was a stud, and the girl he did this, he raised me, blah blah blah.
When McGregor gets drunk, he's known to do like crazy shit. Like, he was promoting his whiskey at a bar. Mm-hmm. There's video of this. You can go online and watch it.
Uh-huh.
And something happened where he poured a shot for someone for free. Like, he was promoting Proper 12.
Uh-huh.
And the guy didn't want it. He like turned it down, and McGregor got insulted. And
yeah.
Like,
He got a history of punching people in the face, but he don't got a history of showing his dick. If you told me he didn't want to take his proper 12, and he showed him his dick, and I'll be like, oh man, there he go again, McGrath is showing off his ding dong.
Oh, have you guys ever tasted proper 12? I don't think it's that good, honestly.
No, I heard it wasn't. You heard it wasn't that good.
So, yeah.
I generally, when things are like all the rage and like, you know, there's like the fads, I don't really get into that.
Yeah. Nah. Proper 12 is delicious, bro. It's the best drink you probably ever have.
Unless you sponsor us, then it's the best thing ever in the world. We are looking for sponsorship. Proper 12. It tastes crap right now unless you sponsor us.
Orlando, what's your favorite? What's your go-to whiskey or scotch besides Proper 12?
Proper 12 all day, bro. That's all I drink.
Come on, like what? I just want to gauge like what you like. We might have different palates.
That's what I drink, homie.
No. He goes to Trader Joe's for the $2.50 wine.
I drink wine, baby. I drink wine.
You can't name another scotch besides Proper 12 that you like?
I drink wine and Brugal. That's it.
What?
Brugal. That Dominican stuff.
Oh, all right.
Well, I like Macallan, so, you know. I was introduced to it by I think one of my friends, maybe it was you, Evan, but yeah, we've been actually my wife introduced me to Macallan, and yeah, it's been there. It's amazing. Anyways, kind of pricey though. Anyway, so talking about jiu-jitsu, the IBJJF tournament in Austin, Texas just happened. And you know what that means? We back, baby. Jiu-jitsu is back.
Hopefully, bro. I'm itching to like to start competing again, dude. I'm like seeing people like posting stuff online and all this.
I thought you were gonna quit. I thought you were gonna quit jiu-jitsu.
I know. I say compete. That all the time. Yeah, I'm just gonna compete.
All right. So this was the competition guidelines, guys. So every athlete is eligible to bring one coach or companion. But there are no spectators that will be allowed, and they enter the venue with the competitor. So you're only allowed one person. And for the sake of all competitors and staff, check your temperature before coming to the event. And let's see, if you have any signs or symptoms of high temperature, please remain at home, contact your health provider. I mean, obviously, but you know, my question is, what happens if you're cutting weight and you're like, you feel sick. I need, for those of you that's ever been cut weight and like you feel like shit, you know what I mean?
Wait, but doesn't your temperature rise when you start warming up?
Yeah, but they do it before you enter the facility.
Okay.
And not your internal temperature should stay the same. Maybe your external temperature you get higher.
I'm tired of this damn COVID thing, bro. Where the hell is Colin? Bust that ass. Yeah, I wish Colin was a person so I can beat his ass.
So to say that
for everybody.
So the third bullet point is, if you are currently sick or have been exposed to someone that has tested positive for COVID-19, stay at home. I mean, that's obvious. Let's see. The fourth one is, all of it, their equipment will be properly sanitized prior to and during the event throughout the day. And masks or face shields must be worn in the building only up until your match. So, you know, I mean, it's pretty reasonable, I think. But at least, you know, we're competing again. It's not the best scenario, but
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like a regular jiu-jitsu tournament, if you ask me. I mean, the only people that I know that are spectators in jiu-jitsu are the ones that are actually competing or know anything about jiu-jitsu. So it's like...
right.
You know, it's not like,
you know... Yeah, because people go to watch and they're like, after the first 15 minutes, they're already like, this is boring. I'm out of here. What are you guys doing? You guys in pajamas are like rolling around. I don't get...
But once you've had your match, can you stay or you have to leave?
I guess you could stay, but as long as you wear your mask, you know what I mean? I mean, you obviously got to stay for the group picture.
Yeah, but I don't get, like, why in New York, like, why they don't just, you know, how you said that in Vancouver, they have a little laser, they check your temperature, and you go and roll. Why can't they just do the same thing here for, like, gyms and restaurants and all that?
That's a great question because, you know, like I said, you know, the Muay Thai class is going, and it's just going. It's like nobody's wearing a mask inside after they get their temperature check. And also for jiu-jitsu. So, and when I go into restaurants, they're not checking my temperature, but, you know, like they're keeping minimal tables. You know, the waiters and waitresses are wearing their masks, and the diners are not, which is, you know.
And it has like a low mortality rate. You know what I mean? Like, this shit just driving me nuts already with this. But whatever. New world order. Bullshit.
The new norm for Orlando. So. All right. Anyway, yeah. So UFC 252 occurred this weekend, Orlando. Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. I watched the highlights.
you watched the highlights? Okay.
I watched the highlights.
So tell us about the highlights, Orlando.
Man. Covington, you guys see how he whooped that ass? How he whooped Woodley?
Yes, Covington dominated Tyrone Woodley, yes.
Yeah, but that was like, he's been trying to fight Woodley for the longest, man, and he finally got in there in the cage with him and it was like a walk, not a walk in the park. I mean, Woodley's a tough dude, you know what I mean? But in a lot of takedowns, A lot of pounding, ground and pound. So it was an exciting fight, man. What's missing though is that crowd. You know, I miss watching the UFC and they have the crowd in the background and you can kind of feel the intensity of the fight a little more with the crowd cheering and getting into the fight.
Yeah,
I didn't see the UFC, but I imagine it's more like Ultimate Fighter. You know, when they do it in that Vegas place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what's cool about that, what I like about it, is that you can kind of hear every strike. You can hear the corners. Because, like, you know, what's really annoying about the UFC crowds is, like, at certain points, they'll just be doing stupid shit. Like, the woo, woo. Like, people just want to hear themselves. And that annoys me. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. You see them like, yeah, but I just feel like when the crowd is involved, there's like this kind of energy that's like flowing through the crowd. And when there's like a big knockout, you just hear like the crowd explode, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, just like in jiu-jitsu, bro.
That's something like that.
All right. Well, let's talk about that fight for a second, okay? So Covington dominated Tyrone Woodley, in my opinion. And I'm not a Kobe Covington fan. I actually never watched any of his fights before, especially when he started promoting himself as, you know, like, you know, with the red hat and stuff like that. But we're not going to go there. Putting that aside, you know, I could respect the man because the guy could actually fight. He's a southpaw. Tyrone Woodley was a righty. And he wanted it. He brought the pain. And, you know, the thing with Tyrone was, like, in the first few rounds, he was completely, or actually the whole fight, he was very defensive and very shy to pull the trigger. And for the most part, Covington was, like, moving forward, walking him down, trying to take him down. But Tyrone was, like, you know, just kept letting him advance, and he was already behind a couple of rounds up until the fifth round, where, you know, Kobe took him down and got into a weird position as far as, you know, he was on his back, Tyrone was on his back, and, you know, this happens in jiu-jitsu, but there was like a funky movement that he did, and his rib just popped. You know?
Yeah, there's something like kind of strange with Woodley. Like, he's been very hesitant in his last couple fights. You know, especially like since Usman, he's been like, he hasn't been like that aggressive kind of like he kind of hesitates to pull the trigger. You know what I mean?
That's I don't know if you've seen like,
yeah, but yeah, it's wild. Like, he's not aggressive as aggressive. I mean, how he used to be was just like his power and his strength were like would overwhelm his opponent. Mm. But it's not. It's I don't know if it's something psychological or what.
I thought he was like I think most people like in his situation. I feel that he waits. He's a very patient fighter, methodical. But I think he was just waiting for that one punch opportunity that just never came. You know what I'm saying? It's like he looks like he was a counter puncher because you know Covington was walking him down, closing the distance, and I think Tyrone was just waiting a little bit too long. And as we know in jiu-jitsu, you wait too long. Next thing you know, you have 26-0, and it's a little bit too late for you to catch up. But what you were saying earlier, Evan, was like, what was I going to say to you? You said that you can hear everything, including the corner. But what drove me crazy about Tyrone's corner was like, you know your guy is not pulling the trigger. But these guys, and I get it, right? You're in the corner and you don't, like, you talk to your fighters instead of, like, sometimes, you know, like, yelling at them or something like that, you know, like we see in the movies. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's the corner's job to be able to get that fire going for your fighter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've seen like in boxing where like the guy's kind of slowing down. And then once he gets into that corner, you know, the coach is like, man, this is your time. You got to do this. They just lift up your spirit. There was one fight there. The guy was like mentioning his dead dad. He's like, yo, your dad didn't get to see you become champion. You know, your dad's in the grave now, but this is your chance to do this for your family, to make a name for your family.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, it's crazy. It's like, but that vibe, bro, that energy, that fire, bro. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I was saying. It's just like, you know, like how his coaches, you know, and I'm sure they're great coaches, but this is just my opinion. And what the hell is my opinion count in the world? But all I'm saying is just like there was an opportunity for their cornermen to light a fire under his ass for one first round, second round, third round, but they didn't. And it's a team effort, right? You know, your fighter is like a representation of your whole squad. So, in my opinion, they definitely could have lit a fire under his ass, but didn't. You know, and that's all I got.
Especially when like you're losing rounds.
Absolutely.
So like if you're down like two rounds, it's like, bro, you got to go all in.
Absolutely.
All in, you know, like that's it. You're going to lose this shit if you don't go in.
Yeah, man. Like
go for it.
Yeah, man. Like some people, like, you know, before tournaments, that's why we all do our routines, right? Like we have our headset on, we're listening to music that'll pump us up, you know. All that stuff matters. And, you know, I just thought that was a missing component in Tyrone's corner. That's all I got to say. Did you guys see the Mackenzie Dern winning?
But wait. Let me rewind that. You're talking about that red hat, though. You need a villain in the sport. Come on. Yes
it's
or no?
True. It's true. No, I mean, so from my understanding, Covington was just like every other fighter. This is the story that from my understanding. And you do have to be able to sell tickets, right? So, like you said, he was a villain. So, from my understanding, Colby Covington was just another person in the world of mixed martial arts. And he wanted to stand out. And then
how are you not feeling that, though? How are you not feeling that? Come on,
from a marketing perspective, you know, and you could challenge me on this, and, you know, and because in my opinion, the red hat is being equated to almost like the Nazi flag, you know what I mean? Like a swastika.
Well, that's for like the, like, you know, politically the progressive all that other stuff. But, you know, like,
he's definitely targeting a different demographic. I'm not taking that away from him, because fans that never watched him before, or people that never knew him before, now know him because, you know, he's making the UFC great again.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about, big boy.
Can I just jump in? As much as I don't like the MAGA hats, I equally don't like how people And I think that's very much an external.
I'm getting y'all MAGA hats.
No,
Kobe MAGA hats.
Can you let me talk, man?
Oh, you motherflower. I'm just, part of my Brooklyn Bridge.
I don't like how people equate a MAGA hat with like some sort of racist or, you know, Nazi. It's not the same thing. Like, certainly there are people that wear MAGA hats that aren't, you know, just as bad or racist, but not all people that wear MAGA hats are racist.
Yeah.
And I hate just as much seeing, like, you know, someone like the videos that people want, like, you're sitting in a restaurant eating, you know, with a MAGA hat, and someone comes over and, like, you know, pours water on them or, like, harasses them. I think they have as much as they have, you know, we have free speech in this country, and they should be allowed to, you know,
sure
exercise their right.
And I feel you on that, because there's also people like that are protesting, that, you know, that are really into like the BLM and they're trying to do the right thing, but then there's other people like Antifa that are like burning shit and causing trouble, you know what I mean? So there's always bad apples in every crowd, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Not in Canada, you guys. Not in Canada.
Even the meth heads over there are polite.
Oh, yeah, man. They asked me if I want a hit. And I'm like, nah, man. I'm good, homie. Anyway, so Mackenzie Dern, I can't remember if she won by heel hook or knee bar versus Randa Marcos.
It was an arm bar.
It was like a weird ass arm bar. It was like a spiral arm bar. Like,
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I must have been watching the wrong fight.
How dare you?
But yeah, it was you're right. It was an arm bar. My mistake.
Looked like a spiral arm bar.
No, I think her foot was like, she had the traditional arm bar, but her foot was caught in her opponent's
Yes,
leg.
You're right. So it was
and
like,
then,
but thing is, like, why would this? So here's what happened, right? So she threw this terrible punch, followed by a terrible kick that literally she hit the air, fell down, and this girl chases her down to the ground, which is the biggest mistake, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you do know this girl is like a jiu-jitsu like world champion, multiple time world champion, etc. Ground game specialist.
She was like her father's like a top-notch black belt.
Yeah. And so you do know that it's like her ground game's top-notch. And also, it's the first round. You're not sweaty enough to be able to get away from, you know, like certain situations. So this girl decides that it was a great idea. I mean, you know, adrenaline's kicking in. You know, who am I to judge her? But like, dude, it's like you're a professional fighter. It's like it's strategy, right? At the end of the day, it's like, dude, like you are hitting her with your fists. Do it some more. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it's also like that that, you know, that fight IQ, you know what I mean? Like black belt on the ground, I'm a blue belt, like, you know, like maybe I shouldn't go there.
Yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. So what do you guys think about Mackenzie losing her ability to talk English and have like a Brazilian accent?
Maybe it's just a brain fart, bro. Maybe she gets a brain fart every once in a while and she kind of forgets that, you know, she has an accent, and then maybe she does have an accent. I don't know. She might be just confused.
Is her father like Brazilian?
Yeah, but that's my father's South African. You don't hear me talking about this, you
know? Yeah, I mean, I was born in the Philippines, and, you know, I don't know if I have an accent or not, but, you know, I did speak Tagalog, you know?
Yeah. I think she was trying to, you know, to have the sexy accent to kind of sell the fight itself, fights a little bit. I don't know. It's marketing at the end of the day, but it was kind of phony. You know, it's like it's a little too fake.
Yeah.
Like people get that.
Keeping it real, baby. You got to keep it real.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Cowboy Cerrone fan, and he fought Mr. Nico Price, and it was a draw, which I thought it became a draw because Nico kept like eye poking him accidentally, having his hands open, and you know he wasn't doing it intentionally. He was just trying to like manage his distance, but you know,
yeah,
an eye poke here and there. Eventually, the the referee decided to take points. So entertaining fight. But I think Cowboy needs to hang it up though, because he's getting a little punchy in my opinion.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. And I'm just glad that he's not, you know, getting knocked out. You know what I mean? Like once you know your chain starts to weaken up, and you know, I just, you know, these guys he's a legend in the sport already. Why is he like
Hall of Famer, man?
Yeah.
Homeboy's got the most finishes or fights, and he's a legend, man.
And then it's like at some point you gotta, you know, your own personal health. You want to raise your kids. You want to, you know, you're going to have grandkids one day. You don't want to be like, your mind's going to be starting to erase, you know, can't remember shit. And you see the boxers, you know, when they start the speech and all that kind of stuff.
I do actually. Unfortunately, you know, I have friends that are in the world of boxing that it's really hard and to understand what they're saying sometimes. And it's kind of sad. So anyway, yeah. So that's why we do jiu-jitsu, so we could get punched in the head less or at all. Anyways. All right. So what's coming up in the world? Go ahead.
Can I tell you about there's a show that I was watching.
You watch a lot of shows, bro.
On Netflix.
I know.
It's called Kingdom.
I was watching a documentary.
Yes, I've heard about Kingdom.
Yeah, so it's Frank Grillo, who's... I think you've had run-ins with him in real life.
Yeah, I've actually bumped into him at Mendez Boxing Gym. I'm not a big fan, man.
Yeah, I can see him being.
I'm not
like
a big fan. You know,
who's this guy? Frank who?
Frank Grillo.
He was in the Avengers, or you know, he had like a small part. He wasn't a superhero, but he was like fighting against them, or maybe it was Captain America. But the show is actually pretty good. They put out 3 seasons. It was canceled. But now that it's gone to Netflix, like, people are getting into it, and they might bring it back for more. So
I hope not. I hope not. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn, you're really a hater.
I know. He's an actor, and let's just say that he's an actor, right? And he was acting a little too much in boxing. It kind of just rubbed me the wrong way. I could be wrong. The guy may be a really nice guy, but I don't know.
He definitely looks like he walks around with a chip on his shoulder.
Well, a chip on his shoulder, his chest puffed out as if like, you know, he's like hot shit. I think also he does jiu-jitsu. I think he's a purple belt. But
you said his name is Frank Miller?
Grillo. Yeah.
Grillo?
Yeah. He's a purple belt, but I'll fuck him up. I'm just kidding.
The guy's like 55, like doesn't have a ounce of fat on his body.
Yeah.
How you know? You've been taking out his gram.
Yeah, I've seen him in the shower, baby.
Mm-hmm, I tell you.
Anyway, so yeah, I have bumped into him a couple of times at Mendez, and so anyways, along with a couple of other like celebrities. It's kind of interesting how boxing attracts some celebrities. I wish jiu-jitsu would attract a little bit more besides the Whack Dragon.
Yeah. The Last Dragon.
Anyways, okay. So anything else on that? Talk about TV shows. So there's really not much for me to do here. So sometimes I like to decompress, and I watch a lot of shitty like shows or anime sometimes in order for me to be able to like, because it's like, I can't watch things that forces me to think, like documentaries or seasons, because if I watch like a show, I'm like OCD. I have to watch the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? So in order for me to be able to like shut off my brain, I have a very active brain. So it's like I watch really shitty, crappy shows. So sometimes I go to anime.
Like reality?
Yeah, to escape reality. And I've been watching Berserk. You ever watch that show, that anime movie, Berserk 1
no,
and 2?
No.
Well, they have like the what do you call that, the show, and it's, yo, it's talk about a brain fuck, man. That movie, that show is crazy.
Yeah, you turning into a nerd, bro? What's going on here? You fucking
I do jiu-jitsu. I am a nerd. I just try to be cool. I'm a cool nerd.
Yeah, all right. I'll let you believe that.
Anyways, all right. So what's coming up in the world of fighting? Any BJJ competitions lined up? So IBJJF is trying to get busy and take our $110, $20, $30 so that they can actually make some money in 2020. So the next one is the International Open in Oklahoma City, September 26th, which is a Saturday. You have the Pan Americans, which is that Nogi?
I think so. The one in New York is.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, now this is in Florida.
It's usually like 2 days, no? It's usually like a 2 day thing. One day is a gi, one day is Nogi.
You're right. No. This looks like it's the championship, so it's only in a gi.
It's in the pajamas.
Still really bad.
I'm sorry.
In terms of COVID, is Florida still really bad in terms of COVID?
Ask that question very slowly.
Is Florida?
Duh.
So it is. So why are they doing a tournament?
Because it's the only state that allows you. It's the only state that will allow it to happen, I guess.
Yeah. Retard.
I mean, that's where the UFC, you know, started doing UFC.
Oh, that's right.
Anyways. Okay, so UFC 253 is this Saturday. You have Paulo Acosta versus Israel Adesanya. And the more I think about this fight, the more I am starting to favor the young Brazilian going forward and going Hulk smash. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man. It's just that the whole Adesanya, I haven't seen him wrestle or jiu-jitsu. I haven't seen him on the ground. And
he's very good at preventing that from happening, though. So I guess that's a key factor, you know, but I'm giving it to Paulo because he's still young, you know. I mean, like, he hasn't taken as much hits as Israel, you know. I did see, I sent you that Instagram where they bumped into each other in the hallway. And they were like, you know, because like they talk mad shit towards each other, like, you know, when the TV is on. But in real life, when they see each other, hey, what's up, bro? What's up? How you feeling? How's weight cutting? Hey, how's the kids?
Oh, my God.
Wife?
I was like, what the hell? Y'all talk mad shit. And then when y'all see each other.
I was like, what the hell is going on here? It's show funny. Business, baby. Show business.
That's what I'm saying, bro. You got to get that red hat, bro. And talk shit.
But Paulo Costa, I like that video because, you know, it showed that he was like, you know, his friend was like, how you doing? He's like, I'm living the dream, bro. I'm living the dream. You know, he's like in Abu Dhabi and beautiful backdrop. And yeah, man, he is living a dream, you know?
And
if he gets the belt, shoot, man.
It's pretty dope though. Cause you know, those guys, they work hard to get where they're at, you know, and it's just like the cream of the crop, you know, and a lot of people don't make it, and then you gotta take a lot of beating on the way up.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. Who you guys got on that fight?
I don't really. I've been so far out of MMA that I can't even comment.
Got it, bro.
You know what's crazy that they're both undefeated, which is pretty dope.
Yeah, somebody's O's like, gotta go.
Somebody's O. Two men enter, one man leaves. Yeah, dude. I'm pumped. I'm really pumped about this fight.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good fight. You know, Israel is definitely gonna have his running shoes on because he don't want none of that. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
you know,
I'm kind of mad that you got Costa though, because I want to have Costa. You know what I mean?
All right, fine. I'll take
have
Israel.
Paulo. Yeah. Have it.
All right, I'll take Adesanya.
I want to talk smack, you know what I mean? But we're on the same team. We can't talk smack to each other. We're talking about the same fight.
All right. So so I'll make a bet with you, okay? So if Israel wins, okay, which is my guy, I will buy, I guess, a steak for the next camp out.
No, wait.
That sounds good.
Wait, no. Orlando, make him walk around New York City for an hour wearing a MAGA hat. And he's filming.
Yeah, you gotta wear a MAGA hat and you gotta buy steak.
I am not doing that. I choose life. I'll buy the steaks.
I choose life.
And if Paulo wins, you owe me what do you call that? What do you call it?
What?
Lamb chops. lamb chops.
All right, let's do it.
All right, cool. All right. And then we have the undercard. We have Dominic Reyes versus Jan Blachowicz, Polish. Dominic Reyes, man, this kid can fight. You know, he's a really good kickboxer. So and Jan Blachowicz, this guy's got that freaking firepower.
Those names have like B's and H's and all these, every letter in the alphabet.
Yeah, man. We have the number one contender versus number three, and Paulo Costa is number two, and Israel Adesanya in this fight is the champ. So, and there's a lot of people fighting on the undercard, but I don't really know him as much. So that's pretty much it. All right. So anything else, you guys?
No.
Nothing much, dude.
Yeah, man. All right. Cool, man. All right, you guys. So thanks for being on. For those of you listening, thanks for putting up with us. until next time, Ratchet Dojo. And remember, everyone can get a little ratchet. Peace.
Amen. Peace.